Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
What is so funny?
Huh?
You were laughing in the intro.
I'm usually laughing when we start because you're usually talking about something insane like the fact that you eat 1.5 pounds of ground beef every day.
1 pound.
Okay. So you're down to 1 pound?
It's delicious.
John has lost 14 pounds literally every time I've ever seen him.
Don't I look great?
You look great. I don't know when that is. It's fine.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you've literally lost 14 pounds every time I've seen you, by now you should be nothing.
No, what I always say to you is, I am down this many pounds from my heaviest. Uh-huh. Not that I have lost a new amount of weight.
See, that's what's always very odd.
This is what the fellas do.
Ah, got it.
Yes. You have a goal, and you have where you started.
Got it.
As long as you don't go backwards, you're good.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
See?
I'm very proud of you.
You've learned something new.
I did.
Want to learn something else new?
Yeah.
University of Michigan basketball is currently ranked number one in the country.
By the time this comes out, they will have already been knocked out of the NCAA tournament.
That is the most abhorrent thing you have ever said on the show, and is incorrect. They're the current favorites to win the championship.
I would like us to go back to our Super Bowl episode and find out who was right.
So who do you think is going to win that NCAA tournament?
Arizona.
Wrong.
You're welcome.
They just lost to Iowa State.
Don't care.
Iowa State's not that good.
Don't care.
I love it. We'll see you in the championship.
Okie dokie.
And we'll have an episode about it. Is the championship for kids. Today, instead of talking about sports, which I could do the entire time, we're going to talk about two movies that are very different.
Like,
date nights.
For parents, is this appropriate? What are we talking about? Some ideas. These are not really movies geared toward kids, is what I'm saying. When we talk about a date night episode, we're talking about movies that that the parents might be interested in watching, but would they be good Catholic values?
Yes. And we're going to be talking about Solo Mio.
Yes.
Solo Mio.
Solo Mio, one of the funnier Super Bowl ads with poor Kevin James sitting all by himself in the in the row there. And also Mercy.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Normally an all-star.
By the way, by the time this comes out, Mercy will be on streaming, and probably so will Solo Mio.
Solo Mio.
Yeah, Solo Mio. So this is an Angel Studios movie. So you were kind of expecting this to line up with our Catholic values, but as just a quick overview of the summary, the synopsis, the plot. I couldn't think of a word just then. It's about Matt Taylor, who is played by Kevin James, who is my husband's favorite actor of all time. My husband loves Kevin James.
He's incredible.
I will pretend we're already friends. It won't even be
King
weird.
King of Queens, Mall Cop,
Paul Blart, Mall Cop. Yeah, good. Hitch, among other things. Great, great movie. Kevin James's character, Matt Taylor, gets left at the altar in the very, very first scene of the movie. It's heartbreaking. It's so sad. So you see these people like quickly fall in love in a montage during the credits. And then the very first scene is their wedding and she just doesn't come in. And then he goes out and he finds she's written him this letter, left the ring. And he has this prepaid honeymoon in Italy. And the guy at the hotel convinces him, like, I can't change anything around for you. I can't give you
no
a refund.
Refunds.
Why don't you just stay and enjoy the trip? And it's already paid for. You might as well. And so he decides to. And so this is the trip. Matt is on his honeymoon with a bunch of characters who are there with their significant others because this is supposed to be a honeymoon package. And they kind of like dig into why he's alone. And while he's on all of these various excursions, he keeps meeting up with this coffee shop lady who is across the street from their like meetup point every day that they take off on their bikes from. And so he keeps running into her. And so he kind of invites her along and they sort of build a relationship together. And love is in the air. So I don't want to ruin the movie for you. There you go.
It has been a long time since I have been into rom-coms.
Right.
Used to love them.
Yeah.
And then I got in this point in life where I was like, I don't really want to cry on purpose. Like, if I know a movie's going to make me cry, I don't want to watch it. I don't know why. I have no problem crying. I have no problem.
Cry
like
a lot.
Yeah, I have no problem. But I don't want to like do something that I know is going to make me cry.
Yeah.
So I just stopped watching them. And I had to watch this one for the show. And because Kevin James is in it. And because it's made by Angel Studios. And because Jonathan Roomie's in it.
Yes.
Who plays Jesus in The Chosen.
We always refer to him thusly. And I feel bad for Jonathan Roomie. I don't think he had an accent in this movie, but the entire time I was like, what accent is this that he's doing right now?
Yeah.
I think it's just his voice. Poor Jonathan Roomie.
I mean, when you decide to play Jesus and you end up being in the most popular show ever about Jesus, you're always going to be Jesus.
Yeah, you're just Jesus. It's like when Mel Gibson announced that he was going to do a sequel to The Passion of the Christ, the headline was, Mel Gibson gets original Jesus for Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, whoa, wait, what? The second coming has happened. I have questions.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's just forever. There's nothing he's going to be able to do.
Jim Caviezel is Jesus, and so is Jonathan Roomie.
Yeah, unless Jonathan Roomie, who is Catholic, by the way, unless he falls off the face of the earth from his faith, which we hope he does not do, he will forever be Jesus. That's there were multiple times in the movie where he's doing things, and I'm like, Jesus wouldn't do that.
Jesus would never.
And I'm sure he hates that. Like, I'm sure he loves it and hates it, for sure. But this movie, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. I had a couple of times, like right before the movie started, or before I knew this movie was coming out, where I was like, I'd like to see Angel Studios take a run at a rom-com. I wonder how it would work. Would it be fun? Would it be awkward? Like, how would they do it? And I was actually pleasantly surprised with how well they did. Now, because of the budget situation that's a little bit less than major studios, we do have a couple of not great acting jobs, a couple across, like, you know how the standard for Christian movies acting used to be way down here?
Yeah.
And now it's like, quite elevated. So you have to be actually a good actor to like, it's noticeable now when somebody's not an excellent actor in a movie. So there were a couple of those that were like, oh, this is a little bit of a distraction that you're not a good, great actor.
Yeah.
And a little bit of the humor was uncomfortable. Like it was do you remember the movie The Breakup?
Yeah.
Where like they're making jokes at the beginning, but it's really awkward to watch somebody fight. Like, oh, I don't love it. It was a little bit like that for me. A couple of times when the guys were trying to like cheer him up after his wife leaves him or his fiance leaves him. There's a little bit of that, but it gets funnier and more fun as it goes along.
Yeah, I thought Kevin James and Nicole Grammato, who plays the Italian woman.
Gia.
Yeah, I was like, wait, did I say Grammato wrong? Gia? No,
her name is Gia in the movie.
They were great. They were like, they made the whole movie. I thought they did an unbelievable job. Jonathan Roomie and Kim Coates, the other guy who's married to the lady that they fight all the time. They were tough. It was tough. And I don't even know. I don't know that there's anything they could have even done better, because they had to do the lines that were given them and they had to be those characters. But spoiler alert. So if you do not want to know something that almost made me fall out of my chair in this movie, close your ears for the next 20 seconds and then you can continue listening. When I saw Andrea Bocelli show up in the movie and be kind of a main character towards the end, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way. What?
So wild.
That was really, really cool. Okay, we're good now. But here's my one thing. So it's a date-night show. Should you watch this movie? Sure.
Yeah.
I will say, though, one thing, like, from the Catholic perspective, a movie made by Angel Studios, I was a little bit surprised at, like, the encouraging of Kevin James' character to get drunk, to get over the fact that his fiance stood him up at the altar, or the encouragement for him to have a random hookup with a clearly wasted person by one of the characters, which he does not do. I thought that was a little weird. Like, and the amount of kind of drinking in general was just interesting from Angel Studios, but at the same time, I don't know. It's I'm not like offended by it, but I was just a little bit surprised.
So the scene that like I'm thinking of mostly, the amount of drinking, I don't think anybody ever seemed, other than the one scene where he's very drunk.
And the woman that he's talking
to. Yeah, that particular scene was the only like way out of character thing. Like, Catholics can drink. Like, we're encouraged not to get to drunkenness. Like, that is a sin when you have gotten to the point that you have abandoned your reason or your higher reasoning faculties, the thing that makes you human. It's an insult to your human dignity, and that's the reason that it's a sin. It's not because alcohol is evil,
right,
or whatever your Baptist Nana told you growing up. Sorry, Nana, I love you. But the thing is, like, there is one scene where he has possibly gotten to that point where he's clearly like sloppy, and they're sort of like walking arm in arm with each other. They're not kissing or making out or anything, but they're sort of leaning on each other and falling. And then there's an implied scene where it looks like that, you know, in movies where they're like kissing drastically or dramatically and coming into a room and the door pops open and they slam up against a wall. And you're meant to think for a second that like he's getting together with this girl, but in reality, he's trying to take off his coat and it's just fat guy in a little coat problem.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite funny. So you're like, ah, so you didn't go there with it.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. For me, Angel Studios movies have a tendency to be like missionary movies for me. And this is one of those things where like you have to speak the language of the culture you're trying to evangelize.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to evangelize a culture that expects a sex scene, that expects a certain amount of drugs and, or not drugs, sorry, expects a certain amount of alcohol or bar scenes, that kind of thing, it kind of needs to be there in order to fit into the genre that we're looking at, in order to make sense as that. Otherwise, it's not recognizable to people who are not looking for a Christian movie. And this was not marketed as a Christian movie. This was not, you know, any of that. It was marketed very mainstream. And so when people go in and they see it, and the conversations that are being had there are about, like, these are older people getting married, right? Like, so the woman talks about wanting to have had children and how she was dating a man who took advantage of her, and he dated her for a very long time and didn't ever marry her so that she could have children.
Yep.
And that was a heartbreak for her. That's a conversation that, first of all, we're not having nearly enough right now as Catholics, that, like, some of our beautiful, wonderful Catholic women are not able to have children because they're just simply not finding husbands. And, like, this just, there's just, we need to get a situation going on here where we're having that conversation. And Kevin James is in the same position. Like, he just never found love until he was older. He's like, I'm 53 years old. I really wanted to be a husband. I just thought that was such a beautiful conversation to have, especially in a culture that's so marriage adverse, that, like, I'm going to forgive them the drinking and the implied sex, which turns out to be a joke about sex.
Yeah.
Because it gets your foot in the door for people who are expecting that kind of movie, and you didn't actually do anything wrong, because he was able to turn the girl down. So his human reason is clearly still intact, even though he's definitely sloppy.
Yeah.
But he was able to make good choices. And I just think it's worth it to have that there, so that we can have that missionary mindset.
Yeah, I had written down that this movie is very much pro-family and pro-marriage.
So.
And that's good.
Yes.
100%.
We got to take our wins where we can get them.
Did you know that Kevin James made a TikTok account under the name Matt? What do you know his last name?
Taylor.
Matt Taylor. Mm-hmm. Made a Matt Taylor TikTok account months and months ago, and just sort of posting random videos as if he were a real teacher. And for months, it created this, like, conspiracy of, is that Kevin James? Or is this a teacher who looks just like Kevin James, who is posting teacher content? And after a month or two, like, everyone kind of knew, like, no, that's Kevin James. He must be promoting a new movie. But we're talking millions of people talking about, is Kevin James actually on TikTok? I'm curious to see in a couple of weeks how the movie did, because the marketing for it was, like, super new, super mainstream.
Yeah.
Creating a character on TikTok and that has, you know, tons of followers. It was fascinating.
It was very interesting.
And it's not a huge part of him being a teacher is really not that huge part of the movie.
No, not at all.
Like, a part of the beginning premise, and that's about it.
And he talks to the girl about it, but, like, it's just his job.
Yeah. So that was a really interesting way to kind of market the movie. I would say great date night movie.
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Watch it with your spouse when it's available to stream.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the easiest recommends that we can have. Like, it's fun. It's funny. You're not going to object to anything. If your kids wander into the room, they're not going to wander in and see anything.
Yep.
Like, anything that you'll object to. They might be bored. It's definitely not a kid movie that kids are going to be like, yay, let's sit down and watch this romantic comedy. But it's not going to harm
them. But if for some reason your kids wanted to watch this movie, what age would you say is appropriate?
Oh, I mean, interest level, it would probably start to become interesting around 12.
Yeah, 12, 13, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, there you go. Like, it's far less concerning from a drinking, like, there is drinking, there's no drugs, there's no nudity, there's no actual sex, there's no, what else we saw? Violence, there's no violence, no blood.
A punch.
Oh, yeah, there's a, from a girl.
But not really.
Yeah, it's a funny punch, but none of that. So, like, from that angle, it's probably more appropriate than, like, your life with the Walter boys or any of the other things we've said kids might like, so.
Agree.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Mercy.
I wanted to love this movie.
I actually convinced myself. I had to drive 30 miles to the only theater that was still showing it near me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that was only a 45-minute drive. It could have been way worse anywhere near Chicago. But I had such high hopes. I am all into AI and not in like a positive way. Like, I've been reading some crazy stuff about where AI is going, and I think it's a really fascinating conversation. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that a little bit in this episode. But I'm thinking AI movie, Chris Pratt, thriller, PG-13, this could be really fun.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't.
But that's okay. Go ahead and do the synopsis for us. For those who are just now listening to Is This For Kids, she's much better at summarizing things. One out of every 15, I will take a stab at.
And it's a 75-minute summary. And he doesn't know.
I overshare details.
You get meandery. You get like, oh, and this one part happens. You kind of jump around a little bit. It's kind of fun. Anyway. So this is a story about Detective Chris Raven, who is a detective for this police department. Don't even know what city that was supposed to be in now that I'm thinking about it. And he is a major proponent of a new thing called the Mercy Court, which has been brought out to facilitate faster criminal justice. When people are charged with serious crimes where there is a strong probability that they have committed the actual crime, they qualify for Mercy Court, and they go there and they have 90 minutes to prove their innocence with access to every camera, every file that the police have, anything that's out there in the world, they can access it and use it to be able to prove their case, which makes that Super Bowl ad about the Ring doorbells real creepy.
Yep.
Just so we're all on the same page. But anyway.
That was dystopian.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people who are protesting against Mercy Court because it's this like swift justice that doesn't give the correct amount of time to be able to do things. It's disproportionately targeting poor people. And so when Chris Raven gets accused of murdering his wife, he has 90 minutes to prove his own innocence. And it's kind of looked at as if this, like, he's sort of been set up to prove the efficacy of this Mercy Court, whether or not AI can sufficiently judge a person and immediately administer the death penalty. So like the results of this Mercy Court is that crime has gone down crazy, like crazy, but is it worth it for that reduction of crime versus the dignity of the human being left to the AI robot judge?
When you say AI robot judge, it automatically assumes the movie's bad.
AI robot judge. So just to, in case you don't want spoilers, I'm going to give you the good stuff off the top. What age do you think this is? Would you let a kid watch this?
I wrote 16 and up with their parents.
Yeah, I would say probably 14 if they're mature, and then like teenagers. It's I wouldn't show this to somebody in middle school or younger. It's not that it's terrible. There's some violence. There's a lot of violence.
Strong language.
No nudity, no sex.
Alcohol abuse themes.
No drugs that I remember.
No.
No, but there's like, and then there's a lot of politicsy stuff in there. So those are the things off the top of this. If you continue listening to this episode from here on out, there may be spoilers. Have fun.
Yeah. And I will also say too, like, I'm always looking for some type of redemption arc in a movie. And I really did not think there was one in this.
Yeah.
Like, there's like nothing you can walk away from to be like, oh, I learned a cool moral lesson.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? And that felt like a no-brainer. It could have still been a bad movie that had some redemptive quality to it.
Yeah. And what really bothered me is like so to completely spoil the movie for you, the wife was murdered senselessly by a man who is Chris Raven's sponsor in AA, specifically because the Mercy Court had killed the sponsor guy's brother. Who had been accused of a crime, but that guy knew for sure that his brother didn't commit the crime because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But somebody, another police officer, had deleted files or something or hidden evidence so that he couldn't prove his innocence because they really, really, really wanted this Mercy Court thing to work. And so for no reason at all, in order to prove the innocence of his, or in order to prove the problem of the court, he decided to kill his sponsee's wife and then tried to kill his daughter. And you're like, this guy just became evil for no good reason at all. And then the
weirdest partner, revenge ever.
Yeah. And then the partner who's been like helping Chris to prove his, Chris Pratt is the actor's name as well as the character's name.
Chris Raven.
Yeah. He's trying to, his partner is a female officer who is the one who set up the brother, has been trying to help him solve this case the entire time. But she's a good guy the whole way through the movie. And then they do a Frozen tile flip where just for no reason at all, this person is a bad guy because she believed so much in the court. And I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is just like logically, it doesn't follow.
Even I was even hoping that there would be some type of like just good conversation to be had about AI from this.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that there is. I think you can look at this if you want to and say some people think this might be the future of the world with AI. And so and that's bad and scary. But there's just so many other good conversations to have about whether AI can be good or bad or what we should and shouldn't be worried about than jumping to an AI judge that can put a bullet in you.
Well, and it would have gone so much easier if, like, at the point at which he's proven he's pretty much innocent and it's this sponsor guy who did it, instead of this weird, like, keep me in the chair, we're going to do the thing, blah, 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 to save my daughter's life, it could have just been, like, the AI goes rogue, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, and like, sorry, but we believe so much in this court that we're going to kill you anyway because we can't handle the public persona. Like, that's effectively what they claimed the partner did, but instead, they made her a bad guy out of nowhere for no good reason when the bad guy could have been AI.
Yeah. So if you like bad slop movies for a date night and you're okay with violence, strong language, alcohol abuse themes, and not necessarily anything morally uplifting, I'll go ahead and watch it.
Yeah. My husband was like, this was the worst movie you made me go see ever.
Yikes.
Like, it seems that I told other people.
We still love Chris Pratt, though.
We love Chris Pratt. I'm so sorry. But, like, you know how when you watch movies and there's, like, a movie on the TV in the movie, and it's usually got a cameo from somebody famous who's, like, you know, Matt Damon just, like, pretending to be Thor in the background. Like, whatever. You know, remember, like, in Thor where they play the acting? Yada, yada. There's, like, a fake movie in the background. It's like they made that fake movie into a whole movie.
Yeah.
And it was just so bad.
Yeah. So, Solomio, watch on a date night. Mercy, not so much, but I want to have a quick conversation about AI.
Let's do it.
So my oldest son, 11 years old, he recently, and during the Super Bowl, there was a ton of AI commercials.
So many AI ads.
And one of them came up and he rolled his eyes and looked at Jody and I. He just goes, ugh, I hate AI. And he's been kind of making comments like that for like the last few months. And I never asked him, like, where is he even getting this information? He's homeschooled, maybe his tutor, but like probably not. Well, it definitely is. And so I think him and his friends kind of share the same views. But then I read my daughter a Dog Man book. And the Dog Man book is about AI and how AI is trying to take over the world. And I'm like, as I'm reading it to my daughter, I was like, this is where my son has gotten all of his hatred for AI. He probably got a little bit like scared of like the book and how that could be the future. And so he's just decided that it's
all
awful.
Of it's bad.
But I've been reading a lot about, like, there's just been a ton of articles in the last really few weeks about AI experts who literally make their money doing AI, who are giving warnings to where it might be going in the next 5, 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So my kid's a little bit too young to even be trying to use it. They're not at school yet. My oldest is going to be in sixth grade next year. So maybe they'll start having more conversations. But you have older kids. Like, is it something that us as parents have to be talking to our kids about more? Are you noticing with your kids and their friends, like, is it a huge thing that they're using a lot? Or and when do we have these convos with our kids about what it is and the harms?
So there's a lot of things with kids that you kind of want to be aware of. Number one is homework. If your kid has a cell phone and AI access and ChatGPT is extremely easy to download, all they have to do is take a picture of the sheet and ChatGPT will give them all of the answers. They can write them down in their own handwriting. There's no way for anyone to know. If they have a Chromebook on their thing, the Chromebooks are, or like some schools use Apple computers, and they have a way of like being able to see everything. So if you just copy and paste, they'll know that you did it wrong. But if you if you just took a picture of the screen with AI and it gave you the answers, you could type them out real time and it could get around those kinds of things. So cheating has been a rampant problem with AI. And like, even if your kid is trying to use it well, like one of my daughters is homeschooled, she does an online high school, and she didn't understand how the way that they were explaining a problem in her math class. So she asked ChatGPT, like, how do I solve this? And they walked it through her, and they gave her a different way of solving it than the way her teacher did. And so she wrote it out. She just wrote the answer because there was only like a small answer box. But when she had to explain how to do it, she explained it the way that AI taught her to, and they pulled her in for cheating because she had brought in an outside source. Now, I have feelings about whether or not that qualifies as cheating, but there is a lot of concern with kids are just simply not learning the things that they need to learn because AI is out there and can create those things. Another thing that I find a lot, because I do ads for a cell phone company, and one of the ones that I do talks about a concept called sextortion, which is where like a person will take a photo of your child or any child or anyone, and either it was originally a nude photo or they made it look like one in AI, which is now extremely easy to do.
Yep.
And then they will threaten the child. I will release this unless you send me more pictures like this or other things or money or whatever. It's usually more pictures. And then the kid is like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how you got that picture. Like, and it creates this problem. And we've seen children who've committed suicide because they're afraid that their parents are going to find out about something, even if it's not something they did. Like, oftentimes we'll have people say, oh, well, your kid just shouldn't be taking pictures of themselves naked. And like, sure, but I'm not sure that somebody should be extorting them either. But also, they don't even have to anymore.
Right.
That any photo of your child online can now become a naked photo of your child that can be used against them. So that's something to be very, very aware of when we're like, we talked about sharenting before, like where you're sharing pictures of your children online. It's something super, super to be aware of. And again, there's not much you can do to avoid it, but because any picture of you can be done that way. and there are tons of pictures of anybody online, but you just want to like have that open dialogue with your kid that like, I know this happens. If something like this comes up, please come and talk to me.
Yeah.
So those are two like absolutely huge things. Were you thinking of anything else?
No, but this is just making me think we need to do a whole episode on AI probably. But date nights.
Yeah.
Enjoy Solomio. Enjoy your date night. Make popcorn, little olive oil, bunch of popcorn, cover it, pop it, Costco garlic salt. Thank me later.
Nutritional yeast is also very good, which sounds gross, but I assure you it tastes like cheese.
You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, if you have to pick one of these two, I would go with Solomio, just in case.
Go with Solomio. Enjoy your date nights. Know that we're always praying for you and your families and your marriages. Please continue to pray for us at Is This For Kids?
Absolutely. There is so much content for us to wade through as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is This For Kids?